Hello there, boys and girls.
Hi there, everyone.
Right now, we want to hear Uncle Dan's Bible story, the second chapter from the story of Daniel.
Today's story is adapted from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter 1. I call the story...
The Four Friends.
Nebuchadnezzar, crown prince of Babylon, and his army on their way to Egypt stopped in Jerusalem long enough to capture that city and carry away as captive slaves a few of the royal family of Jehoiakim, king of Judah. Among those taken were Daniel and his three friends.
Enter and file past His Highness one at a time.
This is my wife, the Queen.
His Highness is certainly a young man,
but a very successful one.
He knows what he wants and exactly how to get it.
Is that your formula for success?
Mixed with love and mercy, yes.
I hope His Highness doesn't want me.
I think he'd make a good master. He's the kind of man who would reward faithfulness to slave and royalty alike. Have you considered the possibilities of service at the court of the great king of Babylon?
He's not king.
But someday he will be.
You four young men. Yes, I mean you four. Step up here. Closer, please. Now, one at a time, starting with you. What are your names?
Hananiah, Your Highness.
Mishael, sire.
Azariah, Your Honor.
Daniel, Your Highness.
What are your positions here in the Judean court?
We are members of the royal family, Your Highness.
You hold no official position in the court?
We are students, sire.
Ah, students. General, these four go with me. Take good care of them, and when we get back to Babylon, remind me about them. I have something special in mind for them. Take them away. Next.
Did you hear Nebuchadnezzar say he had something special in mind for us?
Yes, probably hard labor in his quarries.
I think you're worried needlessly. It seems to me that His Highness was impressed with us. He himself is a very well-educated man, and I think he appreciates the fact that we, too, are scholars.
Daniel's right. Prince Nebuchadnezzar probably wouldn't send us to labor in his quarries. He'll probably keep us at the palace. Preps, cleaning boots, scrubbing floors, or keeping his armor polished.
Didn't we decide that pessimism is foolish, a state of mind to be shunned?
I'm not being pessimistic. I'm just facing facts.
We don't know the facts yet.
That's what I mean. That's what I'm trying to face. Now, here comes the jailer.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Master.
You don't have to address me as Master. There must be something special about you because His Highness Prince Nebuchadnezzar gave orders that you four aren't to be treated as slaves.
We're to stay here in Judah?
No. You're to be part of the retinue that attends the prince and his soldiers on the invasion of Egypt. Then on to Babylon.
Egypt. So that's the prince's objective.
Yes. But first of all, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Melzar.
How do you do, Melzar?
Melzar. That's rather an unusual Babylonian name, isn't it?
It isn't my name. It's my title. It means guardian.
I see. Well, we're glad to have such an obviously pleasant man and gentleman as our guardian.
Well, it's obvious that you four are far above the average Israelite. No offense. We'll get along. By the way, I wasn't at court, so I don't know your names.
I'm Hananiah.
Mishael.
Azariah.
And I'm Daniel.
Let's see. Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, and Daniel. I'll have to change your names. They're too Israelitish. Let's see. I want names acceptable to the Babylonian gods. Your name will be Shadrach. And yours, Meshach. Yours, Abednego.
Shadrach?
Meshach?
Abednego.
Huh. It sounds musical. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
I'm going to have to change your name too, Daniel. But I like the sound of your Israelite name, so I'll continue to call you Daniel. Your Babylonian name on the records, however, will be Belteshazzar.
Belteshazzar? Yes, I like Daniel better too.
Now that the introductions and formalities are over, we'd better prepare to march southward with the army. You won't try to escape, will you?
I wouldn't think of it.
Your word of honor is good enough for me. On the trip into Egypt, you will be treated as one of the royal retinue. If you want anything, come to me. Any complaints, come to me. I am personally responsible for you to the chief eunuch, and he, in turn, directly to Prince Nebuchadnezzar. You have until tomorrow morning to round off your affairs and gather what you're going to take with you. Remember, though, there's no use to take much of anything, especially clothing. You will be given clothes of colors and material that will be acceptable in the Babylonian court. You will meet me here in this chamber tomorrow morning at sunup. Agreed?
Yes, I agree.
We'll be here.
Exactly, sunup, and here you are. You four cooperate this well in everything, and we'll get along beautifully. Come, we have to meet the army at the south gate.
Melzar, may I say something?
Of course, Daniel.
When you first walked in the audience chamber at court, you called us gentlemen. For that, I thank you. I'm sure the four of us will strive always to be gentlemen. But more important than that is your attitude toward us. We're Israelites, prisoners of war, slaves. Yet you treat us as equals, as gentlemen. If ever there is anything...
There's the call to march. We'll talk about this later, Daniel. Right now, forward we go to Egypt.
Prince Nebuchadnezzar, his officers, retinue, troops, and prisoners march southward. Day after day, they march southward toward Egypt.
I wonder what's going on up front at the head of the column. There's a lot of commotion.
Melzar, I noticed a rider came out of the woods and is talking to the prince.
Yes, from the color of his uniform, he's from Babylon.
Babylon?
Probably a courtier of some sort with a message from King Nebuchadnezzar.
The prince doesn't seem to be excited.
Prince Nebuchadnezzar never gets excited. Whatever it is, however, it's important enough to stop marching.
You know, I'm beginning to have a great respect and admiration for Prince Nebuchadnezzar.
Why, that's King Nebuchadnezzar's personal fanfare. That's queer. I wonder what's up. Funeral. King Nebuchadnezzar is dead. Long live the king.
That means the prince is now the king.
King Nebuchadnezzar.
Long live the king.
Hail to the new king of Babylon, King Nebuchadnezzar. Long live the king. Long live the king.
What'll he do now? The new king, will he go on to Egypt or go back to Babylon?
He almost has to go on to Egypt, now that he has started the campaign.
I should think he'd hurry back to Babylon before some ambitious schemer has time to plot his overthrow before he's actually seated on the throne.
That's just what Nebuchadnezzar did. He took the short desert route back to Babylon, leaving his generals to follow more slowly with the army, prisoners, and retinue. When Daniel and his three companions arrived in Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar was already king. Peace and quietness were again settling down in Babylon, the city beautiful, astride the banks of the Euphrates River. But as yet, the four Hebrew captives knew not what was to become of them. In this great hour of need, Daniel turned to his God.
O God of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, God of love and mercy, have compassion now on my three companions and myself as we begin life in a strange land among idol-worshipping people. Help us to so live that thy name will be honored and glorified. Bless and strengthen King Nebuchadnezzar as he begins the difficult task of ruling.
Well, gentlemen, at last the instructions regarding you are here. You men are to become members of the Royal School for Courtiers.
The king is very generous.
Indeed he is.
Are we being sent somewhere to some special school?
No, you will have private tutors, the very best that Babylon, the world, has. You will sit at the feet of the best men in each of the sciences.
Then what?
Yes, after we've completed our education, what then?
The king did not say.
Well, how long are we to go to school?
The ordinary graduate course that you will be taking usually lasts 3 years. Any more questions? All right, now you are to be considered a part of the royal family. You will live in the royal palace and partake of the royal menu. You will have the best foods and delicacies in Babylon. I'm sure you will have no objections to that.
This is surely some feast. I wonder if every meal at the palace is like this.
I'm afraid this is a typical meal. Most of the food is very rich. It will be very hard to digest. And do you see that fellow over there with the long robe?
You mean the one by the wine bottles?
Yes. I understand that he's a temple priest of the Babylonian god. It looks like he's going through some sort of ritual, probably blessing the wine. See, now he puts some of it in that cup and places it before the idol.
And now he's gone over to the table of meat delicacies, going through another ritual.
Oh, this is a very serious problem. If we eat that meat and drink that wine, we will be worshipping their idol, at least in some degree.
Yes, that's right. Would be.
And the wine is probably intoxicating.
And we resolved that we would remain true to the God of heaven, come what may.
What do you think we should do?
Well, it seems to be that the only solution is to drink water and eat only the vegetables. I noticed that the priest didn't go through any ritual with the vegetables.
Yeah, but that's going to get us into trouble. Melzar said that the king decreed that we should eat the royal menu.
I think we'd better pray about this and then go talk to Melzar.
What's this I hear about you fellows? The chief butler informs me you aren't eating the food from the king's table. Surely you understood the order.
If it please you, Melzar, we should like to make an explanation.
Well, it better be good.
We understood that we were to share in the king's food. We did not understand, however, that this was an order.
Don't you like the king's food?
Melzar, sir, we... In the first place, we cannot partake of the wine or any intoxicating beverage. And we believe that we will enjoy better health if we eat only food derived from plants, such as grains and vegetables, nuts and fruit, instead of the rich delicacies from the king's table.
Better health? Why, everyone knows that meats and wine build strong muscles and bring about a healthy, ruddy complexion.
I'm sure you mean well, and the king, but if it please you, we would like your permission to omit the wine and the king's delicacies from our diet.
I like you, Daniel. You're a man among men and a gentleman, but I'm afraid of what the king would do to me if I granted your request. After all, the king himself did appoint the diet, and he will have my head if I disobey.
But on the other hand, if our countenances were more healthy and ruddy, would not the king reward you?
But such a diet won't make you healthier. You'll become pale and sickly.
Will you prove us, Melzar? For 10 days, let us eat only food derived from plants and drink only water. At the end of the 10 days, compare us with those who have eaten the prescribed meat and wine. Then deal with us accordingly.
All right. I'll agree to that. For a period of 10 days only. Then we'll see who is right. You won't tell anyone about this trial.
It is between us and our God.
I'd be disgraced, probably hanged, if the chief eunuch ever discovered I'd permitted this infraction of the king's orders.
Have no fear, Melzar. Only the five of us will know.
Well, my friends, today ends the 10-day trial of your peculiar vegetarian diet. I'm anxious to know the results, although I already know.
So do we.
Then why go to the trouble of comparing you with those who have eaten the meat and drunk the wine? I'll just tell the butler to start serving you the regular king's diet.
Melzar, look at me. And the other three. Look closely. What do you see? Are not our faces fairer and more ruddy than they were?
You haven't used some sort of makeup, have you? To fool me? Well, let me see. Whatever it is, it doesn't rub off.
Rub off? It's ours. It's the blush of youth. The proof of robust health.
And our flesh. Are we not fatter than we were?
Yes, I believe you are.
And those who have been eating the king's meat and drinking the wine for the 10 days, are they in better health than they were?
No, I can't say as they are.
Obviously, then, we have passed the test very well, and we can continue with our diet.
Yes, I will so order the butler. But tell me, gentlemen, what is your secret?
Secret?
10 days. A 10 days test isn't long enough to make that much difference, but it did with you. Why? How? Magic or what?
It's very simple, Melzar. Our God, the God we serve and worship, is the God of creation. He who made us knows what's best for us. We obey him and he helps us.
So that's it. I've often wondered about the Israelite God. I've heard so many different things that I don't know what to believe. You haven't volunteered any information, so I didn't ask you.
We believe that the best way to tell you about our God is to live as we should. Then, when the proper time comes, you will ask us about him.
And by living correctly, You will believe us when we do tell you about our God.
I can understand that. Some people could tell me that the grass is green and I wouldn't believe them. On the other hand, you four have proved that you're gentlemen. Trustworthy, honest, truthful, and fair. I believe what you say about your God, even though it is hard to visualize a God with actual power.
Well, doesn't a God, to be worthy of the name, have to have power?
Well, I don't know. I'm sure our Babylonian gods have power, but I'm not an expert on the subject. You'd better ask a high priest about that. Good day, gentlemen.
He was embarrassed. Confused.
We're always confused and embarrassed when we don't understand something.
I don't think we should force our opinions on him.
Definitely not. When he wants to know more about the God of creation, he'll ask. That will be our opportunity to say more. In the meantime, shall we get back to our studies?
A year went by.
Well, 1 year here in Babylon. We still don't know why we're here or what we're going to do here.
The king has something in mind.
Yes, but what? And why doesn't he come to see us once in a while, or at least send word, or something?
He's a busy man. He's been organizing the newly captured territories of Syria and Palestine. The Arabs are beginning to give him trouble, too, and the Egyptians are fast becoming a power to be reckoned with. He has no time for us.
What do you think is going to become of us?
Exactly what we ourselves decide.
Say that again, please.
We can become what we want to become. The decision is ours.
You forget that we are prisoners of war, slaves, in a foreign land.
I forget nothing. I know that if we want to become slaves, that's exactly what we will become.
Well, I know you're serious, but I just don't follow you.
King Nebuchadnezzar is a wise man and intelligent. He surrounds himself with intelligent men. Every man occupying key positions in His Majesty's court is a top man in that field. If I desire to be, let's say, Minister of State in His Majesty's court, then all I have to do is learn more about the affairs of state than any other man. Then His Majesty will need me, want me, and will make me his Minister of State. On the other hand, if I think and act like a slave, His Majesty will see to it that I become a slave.
By that standard, you will end up being the king's right-hand man.
Anyone who fears and obeys God can achieve the zenith. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
The second year passes.
Another year, and we are no nearer to understanding why we're here.
I think it's becoming quite obvious why we're here. His Majesty intends to use us in his court. Haven't you noticed how we're shunted back and forth and here and there, always in the very midst of what's going on?
Yes, I have noticed that, but I...
We're being taught the innermost workings of the Babylonian court. We are learning to be gracious amidst royalty, and above all, how to think Babylonian thoughts and make Babylonian decisions.
The third year draws to a close.
You may arise and come forward.
Long live the king.
Melzar, I'm told that you are the guardian of the four Israelite captives.
For 3 years, your majesty, ever since they were brought here as captives.
Have they given you any trouble?
Oh, no, your majesty, none whatsoever. They've been so busy studying and delving into the mysteries of science and the affairs of men that they haven't had time to get into any sort of mischief.
Well, I've been told that they've been quick to acquire the knowledge that our teachers and scrolls have had to offer, and that they've gone right ahead on their own, experimenting, studying, probing.
Yes, Your Majesty.
And do they realize that their studies are at an end, and that the final examination is but a short time away?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Well, they are prepared?
They are, Your Majesty.
You will be notified when and where they are to report. You may withdraw.
Long live the king.
You are students. For 3 years, you have been studying, acquiring knowledge. Just how much you have learned will be determined in a series of examinations. You will be examined by your teachers. Last of all, you will appear here before me, and I shall examine you. Do the very best you can, for there are great rewards in store for those of you who show the greatest skills and knowledge and understanding. Dismissed.
Long live the king.
I have before me a report of the results of your examinations. Some of you did surprisingly poorly. Some surprisingly well. I will examine those who did exceptionally well. You, step forward.
Long live the king.
Did you enjoy the 3 years of study?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty. Mm-hmm.
Did you do any last-minute studying for this examination?
Yes, sire. I wish to make the best showing possible.
Are you prepared to take your place in life?
Oh, yes, sire. I'm ready to accept any high position in His Majesty's court.
What would you like to do, or be?
Well, I desire nothing more than to be of service to my king. Mm-hmm.
Why is education necessary?
Well, education gives a man an advantage. Without education, a man is just one of the masses. With education, he is above and better than the masses.
What rewards do you expect for your long hours and years of study?
Well, to fulfill a high position in the service of my king is reward enough.
What causes eclipses?
Eclipses. Well, eclipses are caused by the gods.
Do you believe in the gods?
Oh, yes, Your Majesty.
Why?
Why? Well, sire, I think it's wise to believe the teachings of the priests.
Do you believe that your king can do wrong?
My king can do no wrong.
Why?
Well, the gods made the king infallible.
Which think you the most important, the government or the individual?
Oh, the government, of course, Your Majesty. The government is headed by yourself, Your Majesty. And there is no one more important than you. No position more important than that of king. Now, were it not for you, Your Majesty, the individual would become just a mere...
Finally, it was Daniel's turn to be examined by the king.
You, come forward.
Long live the king.
Did you enjoy the 3 years of study?
Every moment of it, Your Majesty. To discover new things, new ideas, and to exploit them. It's a rewarding, adventurous experience.
Hmm. Did you do any last-minute studying for this examination?
No, sir. If I don't know my lessons by this time, there certainly is no use trying at this late date.
And are you prepared to take your place in life?
I am prepared, with God's help, to take whatever befalls me and do the very best I can in whatever position I'm called upon to fill.
What would you like to do and be?
The highest calling to which any man can aspire is to be of service to his fellow men.
And why is education necessary?
Education is not necessary. Education without understanding and wisdom is a mockery. Understanding and wisdom is more to be desired than riches. Education that elevates the mind and brings higher aims in life is to be courted. Education that elevates only the ego is to be shunned.
What rewards do you expect for your long hours and years of study?
The privilege of gaining knowledge is in itself a reward, Your Majesty.
What causes eclipses?
An eclipse takes place when a planet or other heavenly body, following its regular path, moves directly between the sun and our earth.
Is it possible to predict when an eclipse will take place?
Yes, Your Majesty. The next eclipse will take place during the 37th year of your reign. However, the eclipse may not be visible in Babylon.
Do you believe in the gods?
I believe in one god, Jehovah.
Why?
Because he is the god of creation. By him were all things made, and by him all things are sustained. He is the only god. All others are false.
Do you believe that your king can do no wrong?
No, sire.
Your king can do wrong?
Yes, sire.
Why?
My king is human. He was created by God and given the choice of right and wrong.
Which think you the most important, the government or the individual?
The individual, Your Majesty. The government is made up of individuals. As goes the individual, so goes the government. His Majesty is the government. He realizes that the individual is important. That is why he has surrounded himself with wise men, experts, individuals to whom he can go for counsel in managing the affairs of his kingdom. Without the individual, there would be no government. God created the individual. The individual created God.
And the king examined them all. At long last, the questions had all been asked and the answers all given. The examinations were at an end. The court was abuzz with excitement and anticipation, awaiting the final verdict of Nebuchadnezzar the king.
How do you think you did, Daniel, you and your three companions?
Well, we did the best we could, Melzar.
Well, to me, your answers seemed far more reasonable and learned than the answers of any of the others.
Look around the court, Melzar. Men from all over the world are here. dignitaries, wise men, men of the highest talents, men of broad culture, men richly endowed with natural gifts. The best that the world has is here. My companions and I, we're merely Israelite lads.
Ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, ruler of all the earth, son of the gods, peer of the wise, wishes to make an announcement.
Babylon is this day honored by the presence of many men of renown from all over the world, teachers, scientists, and scholars. However, I wish all of you to take note of four young men, Daniel and his companions. 3 years ago, I brought them here from Jerusalem as captives. Today, they stand before you without a peer. In all matters of wisdom and understanding, I have found them to be 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers and wise men in my kingdom. Yeah!